Well, I'm about as nervous here tonight as I would if I was being asked to preach behind the pulpit in the big sanctuary. This has been a real time getting exactly what we felt God would have us to bring, not knowing exactly what you expect out of us. But we do want to share some of our experiences. And as Brother Sterlucky already said, God and prayer must always be your guiding light. You need to seek after God in searching for a companion. And that's one good reason to come to camp meeting. That's the most profitable place to find a good, godly companion. Visit revivals. Be in the Church of God. You, Church of God, young people know there's nothing out in the world for them to look for. So we come to camp meeting. I know I did. And I was 16. And we had to be 16 to do a lot of things. When I was growing up, couldn't sit with a girl in church till you were 16. Couldn't hold her hand till you were 16. And that was just one of the policies at the Essex Church of God in Maryland. It was well regulated. And if you sat together in church, you had to leave a space between you. And no intermingling with hands and arms and fingers. See how strict we were? But we always found a way to overcome that. Sometimes when we shared a songbook, we hooked little fingers underneath. Amen. But we have some thoughts tonight. And I don't know how this is going to work out. She doesn't know what to say, my wife. And so I'm going to try to draw her into it as we go along. But I do want to read some verses of Scripture, first of all. I know we've got a time limit, so I'm going to try to be fast. Proverbs 3, 5 through 12. Real quickly. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Stay away from dangerous places. Stay away from dangerous relationships. Stay away from things that you know I can't control. You stay away from those things. God will help you every step of the way. It shall be health to thy navel, marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with all thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. Thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, that means daughter as well. Children, my son, my daughter, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he corrected, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Sometimes in looking for a companion, you got your eyes set on somebody, but God's not pleased. And he'll kind of pull the damper on you and say, hey, that's not the right one for you. And you don't understand why. I like her. I like him. I want that one. And here we have the correction of God. He's trying to correct us in our thinking because he knows there's danger there. If you're not really, both of you don't have the same feelings together, it's not going to be a happy connection. So listen to your inner being. Listen to that Spirit of God that tries to correct you. Don't be weary in that, but draw from it. Say, Lord, I give that up. If that's what you are trying to tell me, I'll break all connections. Even though I like her, I like him. Lord, if you're not pleased with this, give me the grace to accept it, right? Sometimes that's hard. And that's why a lot of marriages start off on the wrong foot. Now, I like to think of these 12 verses as three separate cautions of admonition. Verses 8 through 10 give us the reason for obeying verses 5 through 7. And verses 11 and 12 let us know to never be weary in well-doing, that we should understand what correction is all about. We don't like correction, do we? I never did. I like to have my way when I wanted it. And I didn't like being corrected. I've got lots of correction in my life. I suffered a lot of whippings and a lot of discipline and a lot of hard knocks because of my stubbornness, my hard-headedness. Anybody here like that? You don't have to be so... Yeah, I know you. Yeah, I'm well familiar with that. Amen. But we've got to realize God does this for our good. So don't be weary in it. Don't get some people throw in the towel because they get corrected. Well, if I can't do this, if I can't do that, I'm not going back to church there. I'm not going to do these things. So these are well-worn scriptures, but oh so important. They must be taken very seriously. We ought to daily practice them. These were a tremendous help to wife and I as we were traveling through our dating and courtship. The practice of these verses served as spiritual guardrails in life as well as during our dating time. They'll remind you to do all things to the glory of God. Keep your dating time unblemished and pure. Stay holy in God's sight. You will never regret it. Amen. Now, as we think about this, looking for a companion, I certainly was anxious to find one. I wanted to get married. In time, I was just a young teenager. I wanted to be married because back in my day, they were preaching in Revelation that the Lord was going to come back in 1980. They had it on their charts. And I was worried I'm going to have to go to heaven and never experience what marriage was like. And I wanted to get married. I desired to be married. And Brother George Wills, pastor at North Point Church of God, some of you might remember him. But anyway, he was talking to me about it one day, and I said, man, I got to get married before the Lord comes back. He said, later after I was married, he said, you told me one day that you was wanting the Lord to come back any time now. I was married now, see. Lord, you can come back any time. Amen. God has been good to us. I found my wife in the hills of West Virginia, and I like to talk about that, just the fact I called her a barefooted hillbilly, playing out in the fields, jumping around the cow patties, and she didn't like that very much. But that's where I found I come from the city life and married her from the country life, and we had a lot of differences to work out in our life because she wasn't used to my way of life, I wasn't used to hers, but we got that all settled and straightened out, didn't we? Thank the Lord. Amen. Now I want to talk. Young people, always remember that the young man, the male species, God made you to be tempted by your eyes. Men are tempted by what they see. Girls, young ladies, you're tempted by being touched and caressed, comforted, shown pity to, showing emotions towards. That's what brings a young lady into a state of temptation when you're courting. That's why the preachers, pastors, teach so stringently of how you dress, how you look, how you behave, because men are tempted by what they're looking at, right? So be careful. And girls, when the boy seems to get a little aggressive on a date and tries to make up to you, tries to, I don't know what they call it in this day and age, but tries to get fresh, try, you laugh now. His hands start roaming around. You have a place to play in this. You're not a rag doll sitting there for him to just toy with as he desires. Remember that. I was driving one of my girlfriends. I had several girlfriends before I found my wife. And I was driving one of them around the car, and I reached over and put my arm around her shoulder. Driving. She got my hand and put it back on the steering wheel. I got the message real quick. Girls, you can stop a lot of foolishness if you'll do it. You have the power to say no. Boys are more easily succumbed to that passion of loving, hugging, and other things. You've got to put a stop to it. Right. You don't need to open your life up to that as in a young courtship. So girls, dress spiritually, holy, modestly. And boys, keep your hands to yourself. That doesn't mean you can't hold her hand, hold her arm, maybe a little shoulder hug. But the girl needs to know when that's enough. Boys can get stirred up pretty fast. Girls, you need to put a stop to it. So remember that. Some dates expect the girl to enjoy his forwardness as a reward. She ought to appreciate. I spent all this money on her. I done this. I took her out to dinner. I paid for this. I paid for that. So I should have the opportunity to have a little bit my way. Say, sorry, bud, if that's all you think about me, you can drop me off at the house, and I don't want to see you again. Amen. Hello? Amen. You have the nerve to do that? Amen. That's where a lot of people get messed up and get into trouble. I'm going to say this. Beware of the what? Beware of one major thing. What is it? Not you. Beware of one major thing while you're out on a date. Maybe it happens a lot when you take her home and you stand at the door and let, what?
Kiss.
Kiss. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yes, sir, you're right. Beware of the kiss. Now, kissing. Are you listening? Kissing opens up the door to passions that are deep within. Kissing brings passions to the surface that Satan can use to overwhelm you and cause all of your resolves to crumble, and you allow things to happen that should have never taken place. Kissing is a dangerous thing to start on a courtship or on a date. So beware of the kiss. Sometimes, I know, people just expect it. They, well, you know, he took me out. I guess I need to let him kiss me goodnight. Beware of that. You don't owe that boy nothing.
That's right.
Right? And that boy shouldn't expect you to give him yourself. Girls need to have respect for themselves.
Yeah.
You need to have some honor about your own behavior. Don't allow some two-legged man, boy, young man, to push you over and make you lose your holy resolve to stay pure and godly. Be careful of your behavior in public. Loose courtship in public causes people to wonder what you do in the dark. Be careful how you sit in church. Be careful how you get all tangled up in the house of God and in public places. Be respectful to God. Be respectful to the service. Be respectful to yourself. Be careful of these things. Guard your reputation and build character. Let people see, boy, that is a lovely couple. Right? Sometimes we can ruin our reputation and character very easily. Always maintain a strong spiritual life. Let nothing you do during your courtship cause you to have regrets and shame. Now I want to talk to you about how we met. I'll let my wife start that. How did we meet?
At camp meeting in Manassas, Virginia. It was the first time that I met him. We didn't have much going on at that time, but eventually our pastor left us, and so we had Brother Talbot started coming down to preach to us on the weekends. And as time went on, his dad felt the call to go there as our pastor, and that's when he came into my life more so. And We were the only two young people in the whole congregation. So it was typical for us to, you know, hang out with each other every once in a while. Both of us worked in the same city. And a lot of times we would hear of a revival in Pennsylvania, which was only about an hour's drive from where we were living. And so we would meet, both of us were working in Morgantown, right in the town of Morgantown. So we would meet after we got off work, have something to eat at a little cafe, and then we'd take off for the camp meeting, that revival. And this is how it went for probably 2 years. It was like that. We were just friends. We'd never even either one of us thought about dating. And he told his mom and dad.
Don't go too far.
Okay. Yeah, he went to tell some of that. But anyway, my parents were very, very thrilled at it. I didn't know how my in-laws would were taking it, but I was hoping that they felt the same way that I did, you know, that it was a good thing. And, of course, I talked to you last year about my life and how I was engaged to another guy and how God told me. He audibly told me, this is not the one I have for you. So I dropped that man really fast. And I'm so glad I did, because otherwise I wouldn't have the relationship that we've had for 54 years.
All right. There was a small church of God outside of Morgantown, West Virginia, in a place called Hildebrand, a small cinder block building where a few saints gathered, six in number, to worship the Lord. Somehow they got in contact with Brother George Wills, who pastored North Point Church of God. He began going there every so often to preach and hold revivals, since they had no pastor. He began asking me if I'd like to go along with him. I sure was willing, and that is where and when I first met my future wife. Outside of Manassas, We met there, of course, at the camp meeting. But to really be where she was at, that's the first time I met there. And this was in 1963 to 1964. However, at that time, I had no feelings for her. To date her? I said, no way. I didn't like her then as a girlfriend. I liked her as a friend, but not as a girlfriend. First of all, she was 2 years and 3 months older than I am. And I've been trying all these years to catch up to her. But I just can't seem to manage that. Secondly, I just didn't feel she was my type. In 1964, my father began going there once a month to hold services, and then feeling the burden to pastor, we moved to Morgantown from Maryland after I graduated from high school in 1965. We began palling around together as young people, going to revival meetings, camp meetings, etc. I was dating other Church of God girls during that time, one at a time, mind you. Getting in a lot of trouble trying to date two at a time. But anyway, both of my parents were in favor of me getting together with Dee, that was her nickname. And Brother Chip Wilson told me one time, Richie, that's what he called me, why don't you get together with Dee Dee? I said, oh no, I don't like her that way. And I had no feelings that way. As I sat there one Sunday morning enjoying the song, it seemed as though the Lord spoke to me these words. Here you are, looking all over the country for a girl to be your wife, and there she is, right in front of you.
I tried to convince him that it was Sister Rhoda Heaver, which was, she was in her 60s.
They were singing the special together. And there, when the Lord, those words came into my mind, something happened in my heart. And I said to myself, wow, how nice. And immediately, my feelings took a 180-degree turn. And I was in love, real love for the first time. And I knew without a doubt she was going to be my wife. That very moment I was changed. My feelings were changed to full 180 degrees. I had found her. It was real in my heart and mind, my emotions, my entire beings. After dinner that Sunday, I told my parents I was going to go up and visit with Diana for a while. They were shocked because they tried a long time to get me to think about her. Without me knowing it, she was already praying that God would cause me to look her way. She desired me as a boyfriend. I didn't know it. She never let on. She never gave me any inkling that she wanted me as a boyfriend, but she was praying. And God did a work on my heart. Amen. I tell you, it's just as real could be. So, she never let on to me that she felt that way. She just did it her time. Courtship begins. In a 1966 little red Volkswagen, we began to date. And you know what? She had to sit close to me in that car. Amen. She could get over next to the door all she wanted to, but she was still close. And that's what I liked about that Volkswagen. Amen. We sat close together. We went to out for coffee, revival meetings, other churches. We just rode around and talked. We prayed, read the Word of God together, worshiped together. One of these rides in October 1966, sitting at a red light in a little town of Westover right outside of Morgantown, I asked her to go with me. I said, honey, since we started dating, I always called her honey. We don't use first names in our house. It's honey and honey. I like that. But you know, you can say honey in lots of different ways. Honey! Honey. And it means different things, right? I got in trouble a lot because It's not what you say that counts. It's the tone of voice you use. So you learn to speak properly. Even when you feel like, honey, crank that back down. Honey. Amen. I asked her to go with me, and she cried tears of joy. She thought I would never ask. So we began what they called back in those days going steady. We began courting, and now we come to the proposal. Not wanting to be out of order with God or in any way compromise my dedication to totally being able to follow God's will, for I truly felt at that time His divine hand upon me to do some kind of work in the kingdom of God. So I came up with 10 questions to ask her. There were questions about going to Africa as a missionary, questions about the fact I never planned on making a lot of money. I couldn't promise her a nice big brick home, because my burden was for the Lord's work. I desired to be used of God. And I really thought back in those days, the African mission by Brother Nip, you might remember Brother Nip, somebody, anyway, he had the mission then, and was crying for people to come and help him. And I really thought I had a burden for that. So I asked these questions. And other questions. I don't remember all 10 of them anymore. But my prayer was that if she was really my God-sent wife, that she'd answer each question without hesitation with a yes. And she did. Every question. So I wrote those questions down. And then I would have the reassurance it was God's perfect will. 2 weeks after we started going steady, we took a ride to the small airport in Morgantown, and sitting in the little red bug, supposedly watching planes land and take off, is where I asked her these 10 questions. She answered every one, yes. Man, I was elated. And then I asked her, would you be my wife? And she said, yes. But little beknownst to me, she had prayed also that if I was to be her husband, I would ask her, not ask her to marry me, but I would use those words, would you be my wife? She didn't want to just get married to be married. She wanted to be a wife. And she had prayed that way. And that's the way I asked her, would you be my wife? I got by that one. And she said yes. We both shed some tears and prayed and thanked the Lord for bringing us together. Oh, what a happy time that was. And I'm closing. She didn't tell me until a few minutes later how she prayed. But oh, I tell you, it was such a blessing to know God had brought us together. And we were married on June 17th, 1967, just cleared 54 years of togetherness. I was 19 when we decided to get married, when I proposed to her. And my dad said to me, would you please wait until you're 20 to get married? I hate to tell people my son was a teenager when he got married. So 4 days after I was 20, we got married. I crossed the line there. In closing, 1 Thessalonians 2, 11 and 12. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. I look at this as your pastor, whoever he may be, many different congregations may be here tonight. Your pastor is like a father to you. Yes. And he tries to counsel you, yes, guide you, give you direction. And as such, he says here, as a father doth his children, your pastor, as a true man of God, cares about you. Yes. He cares about your future. He cares about your life. He wants the best for you all. And that's one thing that I've always found out. If you're right for each other, many, many times your pastor can notice that, yes, and put his approval on it. Right. We never got married without having our pastor's approval. That was my dad, but I had his approval. But I've seen it work so many times in my own congregation in Ovepa. People get together, and I'd have to warn them. I said, children, this doesn't seem right. It doesn't fit. She's been worldly. He's been up and down in his experience. You're off to a bad start. And oh, how important it is to listen to fatherly counsel and advice. The older saints, God-fearing saints, I mean strong saints that are pillars in the church, they too can see what you're dating, see who you're dating, and they can give their approval. You can feel comfortable with what they say. See, it strikes people. People can see, older people can see these things. So don't go at it alone. Don't be afraid to ask your pastor, do you think this boy I'm dating is okay for me? Do you think this girl I like, is she okay for me? And take the consequences. No sense asking the pastor a question if you're not going to listen to him. He said, no, I don't feel that way. Oh, that hurts. Because you want him to feel that way. But take counsel. Take advice. God will bless you. And I've got to quit. Thank you for your kind attention. This is a wonderful group of young people. I appreciate all of you. And trust God will richly bless you. I don't know if this is what you really was expecting or not, but it's what I had on my heart. So we leave that with you. Thank you.